That's right. Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along my co-host Glenn Martin, and we are here to talk about the Ravens-Browns AFC North division rivalry slash matchup. Huge game this week. Looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to a big-time game. Sure, it'll be physical, all the other things that generally AFC matchups or North matchups are, but we're going to break it all down for you here. Glenn, how you doing this evening?
Doing well, hoping that the Orioles, clinch. Jimbo, how crazy is this? They could not only clinch the division, they can get 100 wins tonight, Jimbo. That's 100 insane. Wins. They haven't had 100 wins since 1980.
That's insane, man.
So, obviously, I've never seen it. So, yeah, I'm super hyped. Also crazy it takes 100 wins to clinch this division. That just shows, I mean, what a division that they're in. It literally takes 100 wins before you can clinch it. But, yeah, excited. I mean, it's a big week for the Ravens. They come off last week's loss knowing that everyone else in the North got a win. So, certainly an added sense of urgency because of that alone. But this is also a division game, Jimbo. So, this is an important, important game against a team that right now is feeling themselves, Jimbo. They got some mojo on the offensive side of the ball going last week, and they've been good on defense really since the start of the season. So it's a big, big challenge, but also a big opportunity for the Ravens to kind of get back up to the top of the AFC North standings.
Yeah, I got to be honest, as the game has slowly crept closer and closer, I've started to get more and more nervous about the matchup in of itself, being what their strengths are. You talked about at least, you know, defensively, being what their strengths are and being what our strengths are offensively. And then obviously it didn't help with the struggles we had last week. So, it's going to be a really interesting game. I'm excited to talk about it. Of course, I mean, the Ravens are going to win. I haven't picked the Ravens to lose yet, and I'm not planning on it. Because
Look, we already took care of the kitty cats. Now it's time to take care of the puppy dogs. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, the elves, right? The elves. Yeah. What Jamar Chase called them. I just lost some L's.
Yeah, that's
awesome. No, so let's get right into it. I think the best place to start, of course, as always, you know, we got to talk about the health of this team. We've got some good news, if I'm not mistaken, from a few guys coming back to practice. Let's see, the big ones are obviously Ronnie Stanley. There you go. Sorry, I was getting a text message at the same time, and I started to glitch. Did you see the glitch?
Yeah, happen? I did. I know he knows his name.
Yeah. Ronnie Stanley has been back to practice, and that's exciting stuff. And then Marcus Williams. Talk to me about what's going on with Marcus Williams, Glenn.
Dude, I don't know what the heck is going on. I am so confused. This guy went from a week one pectoral injury that was supposed to keep him out for the entire season to him being not just a participant, Jimbo, in practice today, mm-hmm. but a full participant in practice just a couple weeks later. So, I admittedly, I'm confused. I don't know what type of black magic or what type of deer antler spray this guy got a hold of, but how does he go from a torn pec, the season is lost, to, like, was there new information? Was it a misdiagnosis? How is he possibly back as a full participant in practice?
Yeah, that's an interesting one for me as well. I think that this is just a guess. I'm no medical person, but I think I messaged this to you as well. I think it really is just a pain tolerance. Like he understands the pain that he's going to have to go through, and then also the limitation in his mobility potentially, right? Because it's got to limit his mobility to a certain, you know, I mean, you use your pectoral muscle for so many things. So it's got to limit his mobility and then also just the pain. He's just like, oh, well, I'll deal with it, right? Like this is just kind of what he's decided to do. That's just my guess outside looking in. But either way, incredible. It'll be interesting to see how he's used. Obviously, Geno's been playing really well. Now, he's no Marcus Williams, right? That's fair to say. But it will be interesting.
I think Geno's shown that he needs to be on the field in some capacity. I mean, he's just been that
and especially
good.
With Ardarius going down, it'll be interesting to see if maybe Geno's kind of – I don't know how much of their roles can – you know, how much of their skills overlap to where Geno could do some of the stuff that Ardarius did.
Well, to your point, last week they had Geno, of course, in the Marcus Williams role. But then they brought Worley in to really play the strong safety role to allow Kyle Hamilton to come up and play the role he did last year, which he had a crazy good game. So it is going to be interesting, like, just because Marcus Williams traditionally, if he plays like every snap or 98% of the snaps. Yeah. So does he go back to his full workload? And then what does that mean? Like, does Geno then slide over to the strong safety and do you leave Worley down in the practice squad? It's going to be interesting, but I think what it does, it, first of all, it's great news, right? Like Marcus Williams is a fantastic player. And like you said, as good as Geno's played, he's no Marcus Williams, certainly not from like a ball hawk or playmaking standpoint, even though I will say Geno had that crazy pick. So I think what it does is it just brings more versatility to what Mike McDonald can call. So
yeah,
that's a big, big get back, Jimbo. Mm-hmm. But
well, and Ronnie too, man. I know that of the two guys, I think that we trust in McCary more than Mustipher, but I also think that the jump between, I know that, you know, McCary has graded well, but the jump between McCary and Ronnie and both guys really, but that's significant. Right. And certainly in a game like this, where he's either going up against a Za'Darius Smith or the likes of Miles Garrett. So, you know, we need all the guys we can back in action. So I think, yeah, great news. Also, I just want to mention, it's no small news that Gus Edwards is back and full, because we are absolutely going to need him in this game. We need him in every game, but you never know with a concussion and how long it takes for a guy to recover from that, answer the test correctly. But Gus Edwards seems pretty dang good at it at this point, right? He's probably hidden more than his fair share of concussions in his day.
Unfortunately, that's just the life of a football player, especially a running back. But let's get into some of the bad news here, Jimbo, because Rashad Bateman has not practiced this week. Neither has Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
And neither have either of our edge players, David Ajabo and Adafe Owe, all of which I think were. Like Odell, there was rumors he could be back this week. There were certainly rumors that Ajabo could be back this week. I find it less and less likely and really hard to believe that any of these guys will be back without any practice participation thus far this week.
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion that these guys are out of the game. I would agree with you on that one. It is a bummer about Rashad, because I think there's been a chronic underuse of Rashad Bateman. I think Massey's going to talk about this, but I think it was just taking time. You know, it's the theme. It's a bummer for Rashad, because every time he gets a bit of a rhythm, you know, he has some issues. I'd be shocked if he doesn't play. Oh, I guess it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion, because this is the Thursday. We don't know about too much that happened today.
But it's pretty unlikely if they don't get at least a limited session in.
Right. Yeah. But who knows? It could come down to a game time decision. It'll. You know, really see. But I agree with you. I mean, I think it's leaning that way, and that's a bummer. I'm not counting on Odell for who knows. I don't think he's with the team. I don't know, unless you've seen things that I haven't. I don't know where that dude is. I don't know if he's in Calabasas. I don't know. You know,
well, what I expect him to be with the team. Is he not? Have you heard different?
I haven't seen him around. You know what I mean?
I would assume that he's certainly with the team getting his treatment. Now, Marlon Humphrey also did not participate, and that's kind of odd in the sense that Ajabo, I think it was Ajabo, put up a story where he put like he's back, and it showed Marlon like running in place, very excited. And then he's not back either. So and maybe they're just being careful. Like, I vote that if you're at all unsure, then keep him out that extra week. And I'm fine with it. But if they're ready to go, I mean, we need these guys out there. So
yeah.
Oh man, it's just disappointing to see this laundry list still be this long of all important guys. Like, there's not a guy on this list who isn't a huge contributor.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that the least important guy on here is probably, I mean, it may be David Ajabo, but that's still maybe.
But that's still pretty damn important.
That's crazy to say. That's not a knock on him. I'm just saying that's how many impact players we have on this list. It's pretty insane to think about, but it is what it is at this point. We got some good news back, and hopefully we will continue to take steps forward and not two steps back, to take one step forward when it comes to injury report. Now on the other side of the ball, of course, you have some few injuries over there. You know, we obviously all know about Nick Chubb at this point. He's not playing, and we'll hope for a full recovery for one Nick Chubb. I don't know if I hope for a full recovery on the right shoulder of Deshaun Watson. I don't think I really care what his injury status is, you know. But the other guys, I think from a competitive standpoint, Greg Newsom is their other corner, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's back in practice. Great news for them. I think it's pretty crazy that – well, not crazy, but it's tough sledding for the Browns running back room, right? Because they just get Kareem Hunt, and now he's dealing with some ribs and a groin. I'm sure he'll play though. I mean, and then the other big one, you know, Jerome Ford, he had what, 2 tutties last week, didn't he? But
he did, really, but not a lot of production.
Yeah. Something like 14 yards or something crazy.
Outside
like
of
that.
Those tutties, wasn't a whole lot. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think the big one is Betonio, of course. You know, dealing with
rest
the ankle.
Day,
yeah.
He's fine. They're all going to play. Yeah, they're all going to play.
This is a clean list.
It's a BS list is what it is, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Getting tired of it. Every time we see our list, and then we see the other guy's list.
Yeah, it's just not fair. We're playing with one arm tied behind our back.
Bull crap, sure. Man.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, hopefully we'll up that F- minus this year to a C or something. All that being said, look, we still got to go out there and play, right?
That's
gotta
it.
Got to go out there and play and get it done. And this is what you build a roster for. So we'll get right into it. With that being said, you know, we're going to break this thing down. Well, let's talk about
Get to Massey real quick because.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I forgot about that.
Yeah, his comment came in a little while back. Chris Sims in his Ravens/Colts review says the Ravens this season still haven't used their passing weapons enough. Lamar still running too much. He mentioned likes of Bateman underused. Do you agree? Well, I certainly agree with Rashad Bateman not being used enough. I mean, I still think, like, as much as I love Zay, I think he's getting a little bit too much of the target share. Like, it's like a pretty big drop after him. It's like half of what he's getting. And then the next guy, and then it just gets lower and lower. But I think as far
it's
as
not
Lamar,
a talent gap. You know, I think that's your point, right? There's not a huge drop-off in talent. We got other guys.
Yeah, yeah. I could see if it was... You know, like you
Zay
mentioned,
and then a group of no names, you know,
right?
Like,
yeah, but Bateman has certainly shown that he can be counted on when he's out there, and so yeah, I do think they have to spread the ball around a little more. But we've seen it, like we saw it in the Bengals game. So I'm not so sure it's like a schematic thing. Is just last week didn't go well. Like they just played like crap. The offensive line was getting absolutely pushed around. Lamar had to run for his life, and also there was play calling issues last week as well. It didn't help the situation. So. I'm not feeling too down because I just look at 2 weeks ago when we were riding pretty highs in offense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's all you gotta do is look back 14 days or so, right? Less than 14 days. And the picture looks much different. So, you know, I still think we have what we need to get it done, but I agree. I think just spreading the ball around in general. I was just getting excited about King Dan, man. He was talking about how they have a better quarterback and a better coach. Two guys that have done nothing in the NFL in comparison to our quarterback and our coach. Just outstanding to me.
Thanks
for
watching, Dan.
Yeah, we appreciate it, bro. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Bateman should be used a little more. But I'm not – the one thing I will say to Massey's comment is I used to get nervous when Lamar would run. I get nervous now when Lamar runs around the backfield. That I don't like.
Yeah.
Lamar taking off and heading forward, I'm not concerned about anymore. I do get concerned about like a concussion, but I don't get crazy. Lamar falls so well. I'm knocking on wood here, but he's just doing it right this year, it seems like. So I don't get too concerned when he's headed forward. I get concerned about the back and forth in the backfield. It's what's gotten him injured most of the time. So I'm not concerned about the runs, but the play calling does need to be improved.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
all right.
Yep, I agree.
Glenn, so let's talk about this defense. I if you have some stats, that's awesome. I want to talk about some names too. Overall, they've been ranked very high from a defensive perspective. I think correct me if I'm wrong, are they not the top rated rush defense in the league right now?
They're pretty much one or two at every single statistical category. Yeah.
Yeah, which of course makes you a bit nervous. And you guys know a lot of these names that we're going to talk about, but Myles Garrett is obviously no joke. Denzel Ward and Za'Darius Smith, who's a former Raven, who's an absolute monster. And then JOK, of course, the middle linebacker, whose last name I'm not going to try and pronounce, but we all know him because he hurt Lamar. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, this is a really good defense. Really good defense. They've got weapons defensively at all three levels. They've been getting it done. They're physical. They're diverse in the way they can attack you. They're handsy. Mm-hmm. They're strong, they're fast. Any positive, you know, description you want to give of a defense, they've got it. And so it does make me a little nervous. Makes me a little nervous. This defense is going to be a handful. That's for sure.
Yeah. Now look, let's put it in context. And I don't typically like doing this because you only can play who's on your schedule.
Yeah.
But they haven't necessarily played a juggernaut on offense yet. Let's be fair. You know, like the Titans look like an absolute mess offensively. They look completely clueless. they're the team they played last week, and they held them to just 3 points. But to your point, Jimbo, they are number one in points per game. They're number one in yards per game. They're number one in third down percentage. They're number one in opponent red zone scoring. I mean, they're pretty much number one in every single meaningful category. And they're a good team. But do I think that they're going to be the number one defense at the year when the year's over? No, I absolutely do not think that they're going to be the number one defense for the rest of the year. But that doesn't say they can't absolutely wreck the Ravens this week. So you still got to make sure you, for one, protect your quarterback, because Myles Garrett looks like he's playing on another level right now, and he was already an all-world pass rusher. And then Za'Darius Smith's opposite him. They got talent on the outside now with Ward and like you mentioned, Newsom. I mean, they're fast at linebacker. They drafted Owusu Koramoah specifically because of Lamar Jackson. Like, that's why they got an undersized linebacker who can fly but struggles to take on guard, because they got a guy who could presumably chase down Lamar Jackson and tackle him. So there's a lot to get nervous about, Jimbo. I can't wait to see kind of what they do to deal with Myles Garrett, because Za'Darius is one thing, but Myles Garrett is a leap up. He's terrifying. So like when you look at that pass rush, Jimbo, do you think this is a scenario where they're just going to look to get the ball out of his hands quickly? Or, I mean, obviously they'll be helping, but like, what do you do to try and improve? Because if the Colts did what they did against this offensive line, I'm real nervous about Myles Garrett and the Browns.
Yeah, I can't, it's hard for me to disagree with you, and I've given this answer before, but I think it was working better when before the concussion with Gus Edwards. I think the numbers would bear that out, that if you can run at them, then it does a bit to slow them down, especially when you have a inferior offensive line to the line that you're playing up, you know, the defensive line you're playing up against. So it's got to be the same thing. Like, you know, I think it was your key to the game last week, if I'm not mistaken, right? Like, it was a big, or at least a prediction that you made was, it's got to be a big dose of Gus again. It's got to be that painstaking 6 minute drive, 4 to 7 yard, you know, right down the gut runs that really make these guys put their hands on their hips. And the other part of it is that I think Ricard's going to be a bigger part of the game plan from a blocking standpoint on the outside. But we've already seen that they move Garrett in on the inside, and he's all over the line of scrimmage. I just don't know if I have any other remedies to those guys other than that. The only thing I would say is Lamar, like, don't get caught in the backfield thinking you can buy time. At least, I mean, Lamar is incredibly fast, and I think, but when you got a guy like Myles Garrett back there, your just margin for error is slim.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's different than
the mind game. Just the amount of mental stress, not just the physical stuff, but he is toying with some of these guys, and it's got to be just like, oh man, like I guarantee these offensive linemen, they're not sleeping that good Saturday night, knowing what's in store for them. But Jimbo, we just had some breaking news, and shout to Adeet Mahmood for putting it. We've been waiting for this as Orioles fans for quite some time. And they just announced in the stadium, finally did something right here. The Orioles signed a lease to be in Camden Yards for the next 30 years, Jimbo.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
I mean, when people were getting nervous thinking, oh my gosh, is this guy Angelou's going to take the team to Tennessee where he lives primarily, a city that needs a team? Nope. They're staying in Baltimore, so shout out. I'm so excited. Oh, man. I was nervous. I'm like, we can't lose another team here in Baltimore, Jimbo. Can't do it.
Yeah, you know, I was never nervous. He's a lawyer. This is his job, to make you nervous, to make you sweat, you know, to get squeeze every ounce of it that he can. I wonder if he got Bisciotti to bone up on those parking lot renovations. Yeah, not a chance. Bisciotti took the comb right through his hair and was like, get out of here.
That's right.
You know, hung the phone up. You kidding me? Yeah, could you imagine that guy trying to call Bisciotti?
I know. Like,
really?
He wouldn't even get to Bisciotti. He would get to his people and not even make it to the conference.
You want to talk to Steve, huh?
You talk to me.
That's right. You tell me
the
deal.
That is pretty. I mean, yeah, man. Incredible. And I love the timing of the announcement being tonight of all nights.
Yeah.
But awesome. Yeah, that's gonna be a lot to deal with. And then Jimbo, mm-hmm. with the fact that Bateman and Odell don't look like they're gonna play. Look, we went into this going, well, we can afford some injuries, but are you starting to get worried when you see Denzel Ward and Greg Newsom mm-hmm. that we're starting to run at, like, now it's down to what, Zay Flowers, Nelson Aguilar, Devin Duvernay,
right?
You know, maybe Tariq Black, whoever they decide to elevate. But are you starting to get a little nervous that this receiving core is starting to drop down a little bit?
Yeah, I am a bit nervous because the matchups aren't as favorable, right? Now it's not Nelly against your number four. It's Nelly against your number two or like a Greg Newsom or something like that. And that isn't the same. It just simply isn't. Not a knock on him. It's just simply. Now I feel good about Zay getting the job done and getting open and things like that. I don't think too many guys can guard that guy inside a phone booth. Now, if somebody can, it would be a Denzel Ward, right? Based on, you know, his abilities and what he's been able to do in the past. But yeah, it definitely makes me nervous. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we're going to switch to the other side of the ball. But before we do, we got to give our offensive keys to the game and our breakout players. And of course, our guest Jacob is here. Jacob Roach is here in mm-hmm. attendance. We're going to, Jacob, we're going to bring you in here in 1 second. Let's bring Jacob in. We'll get to our keys to the game offensively, and then our breakout players. And then what we'll do is we'll switch up and we'll do it with Jacob. We'll bring him along for the ride. Jacob, how you doing, man? Let's see here. See if I can add him. Here we go.
I'm great, right. Guys. How are you doing?
Good, man. Sorry, our producer's not here. So we're trying to multitask here. He's
and
out. Look,
and since DK's not here, I'm going to totally blame it on him that I didn't mention to you, Jacob, that the time had changed as
it's
well.
His fault.
So I'm going to blame it on DK. It wasn't my fault at all. And no. Thank you so much for your flexibility and being able to join us.
Yeah
no problem, so man. I'm excited.
Hopefully dinner was good, and we're excited to have you back.
And by the way, it's for everyone who doesn't know and didn't see Jacob last time, he does cover the Browns for the Browns Wire, as well as he's a co-host of the Barking Browns show. So certainly a guy who's very tuned in to everything Cleveland Browns. But before we get into absolutely drilling Jacob with hard-hitting questions over this matchup, we are going to give our quick keys to the game. To me, we talked about it a lot. It's control the pass rush. I mean, I after last week, I certainly don't want to see Lamar Jackson being strip sacked. I don't want to see the ball on the ground. I don't want to see Lamar on the ground too often. I want to see it looking like it did in Cincinnati or at home again. No, it wasn't Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, yeah, where they kept him clean. He had zero sacks against the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know if that's realistic with the way that they're playing over in Cleveland, but in some way you got to control the pay. I'm not saying zero, but you can't let them crush the game and kill the game and put you in, you know, long third downs if you are in long third downs, you certainly can't afford to give up the sack. So control the pass rush is my offensive key.
Yeah, and I think mine kind of goes a bit with yours, Glenn. It's really just about execution. I think what happened in the game against the Colts was simply us shooting ourselves in the foot. It was a lack of execution offensively. We had the plays in place. We had things drawn up in the sand, in the dirt, to beat the zero blitz, to beat the pressure when they brought extra men. But we didn't do it, right? Like, you could see the play drawn up, but the pass was off, or the timing was off, or whatever the case may be, a block was bad. We've got to execute, right? Like, we know what's in front of us. But you know, I know it sounds simple, but you got to do your job. We've got to execute offensively, because I think we have the ability to get the job done, like I said, but they've got to execute. Now, I'll say my breakout player of the game, I went originally with Lamar Jackson, Glenn, but I figured that was too easy. Cause like, I think, yeah, Lamar could have a breakout game and that's great. But I think Mark Andrews is going to have a welcome back party here. Mark Andrews is not used to being the second most targeted player on the Ravens. He's used to being the first by far. No, or at least equivalent to the person that's first. I think Marquise maybe had more than him.
I think it was still
Did
Mark.
Still have more. Yeah. But really, Mark is generally used to being out in front and being our wide receiver one. I don't think he's too excited about taking this back seat a little bit. And I think with a thinner wide receiver room, I think Mark has his way against the old Brownies this week, and I'm looking forward to Mark saying welcome back to the NFL this week. So he's my breakout offensive player.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I'm welcoming Gus back this week, Jimbo. I'm hoping that they smash mouth football and hopefully wear out those pass rushers by just leaning on them with the run game. And Gus is the perfect guy to do so. So he's my breakout player, but this is a tough one because I didn't want to take the easy way out. I wanted to kind of pick a guy who, you know, it's easy to pick Zay and Lamar. At least have we seen the first three weeks. So I'm picking Gus this week. And
I like it.
I'm hoping to be right. But before we get into the other side, let's start nailing down some questions with Mr. Jacob here. And Jacob, thanks again for joining us. But when you look at this this Browns defense and the way they've been playing, do you look at this as something? Now, look, I'm a big Jim Schwartz guy. You know, well, I think we all are here. And I certainly understand the impact he's made. But do you expect this to be a team that's going to contend for the number one defense throughout the whole season? Or do you look at it as maybe some of their success has been due to their opponents?
Yeah, it's absolutely not sustainable at the kind of historic pace that they've gone through the first three games. They did catch Joe Burrow on a bad week, bad weather. He hadn't been practicing. The calf was not 100%. And that helped them in that first game. But I would be, barring some kind of, you know, catastrophic injury situation, I would think they're going to be top 10 at least. I don't know if they'll be the best or even in the top five, but I think they've shown that at every level they have players that can make plays both inside and outside on the defensive line, and their linebackers have been kept clean, and they've been, JOK has been flying all over the place, and their corners, I mean, they held the Titans to 3 points. They didn't have their slot corner last week. I mean, like, Greg Newsome doesn't play in that game. They play a fifth round rookie in Cam Mitchell quite a bit in that game. And the only play that Cam Mitchell even really gave up, the ball got snatched off his helmet. He was playing perfect coverage on that play, and it just kind of got snapped. So I think they're a top 10 unit, but like, one touchdown every three games, I don't think they can quite replicate that for a 17 game stretch.
Yeah, that would be incredible. That'd be 2000 Ravens stuff, right? But what I want to talk about is the vibe in Cleveland. What's it been like with, you know, this team? Now I know they lost to Pittsburgh, but so far, as far as 3 weeks go, they've played some good football, put some good vibes out there for the city, some stuff for them to hold on to and to look forward to. What's it been like there with them playing well?
It was a little bit of a roller coaster because some of us were very, very down bad after that Pittsburgh game. Your offense scored more points for the Steelers than their offense did. Like, that's a hard pill to swallow on national TV on Monday night. And I was wanting to throw the whole team into the lake after that, because that's just what I do. But no,
yeah, they lose that game.
Yeah. I mean, you just make a bunch of really disgusted noises, and that's how, like, I think that's how you get there. But the vibes are good right now. They're really, really good. You go up against a team in Titans where I know they're not the Titans of two or three years ago, and Tannehill's not the Tannehill that got that big contract. But the last time the Browns matched up at home against the Titans with high expectations, they got boat raced at the beginning of the 2019 season. So it was kind of almost like, I think the fandom felt like, we got Bat Monkey off our back. Like, it was like, you came in, you played the Titans, you held Derrick Henry to less than 2 yards per carry. Like, you went out there and you went toe to toe. What you couldn't do last year was stop the power run. Well, you couldn't stop the run at all, but you couldn't stop the run up the middle, and you went against the best power back in the NFL, arguably. I know he's not quite, you know, a couple of years ago again, but
he ain't Gus Edwards.
Yeah, no, I love Gus Edwards. For what it's worth, I do love Gus Edwards. I was just watching the Bengals game before I came up here.
Nice.
I think that you're finally seeing some of the – Watson showed some of the magic last week. There were some throws, some moments where he kind of was like, maybe I can get back there. You got to stack games and you got to keep going. But he gave you a little bit of that, and the defense just kept being the defense. And you're like, after one game, it's whatever, two, three, you know. So right now I think they're really high, really cautiously optimistic, because they're worried. They're just not sold on the quarterback quite yet, but everybody's pretty excited about the rest of the team.
Yeah. Well, let me follow up with this real quick, Glenn. We have our offensive players to look out for from the Browns' perspective is obviously Deshaun Watson, but the other three are Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, and David Njoku. Now, in our last show, you and Glenn kind of chatted about your affinity towards Elijah Moore. One, I think, because you as a player, too, because Glenn is excited that he's on his fantasy team. But talk to me about those three guys. Like, we know Watson has had his ups and downs this year and seems to be, like you said, kind of showing some flashes of being able to get back. But what about Cooper, Moore, and Njoku? Give us a breakdown on those guys.
Cooper was in his bag last week. Like, he was very, very good. He ends up getting 7 catches on 8 targets. He was somehow out of bounds, even though his foot was 2 feet from that. It was so, and the official is right there. And you see Kevin Stefanski at, like, when they were talking to Stefanski after it, he goes, "Let it play out so that they can, review it and let it be." And it's like, you couldn't let it play. And Amari never talks. And after the game, he was like, "I cooked that safety." He was like talking his crap. And I thought that was pretty funny. But Amari was amazing. I mean, 7 catches, over 100 yards. He has the touchdown. He should have had 2. Defensive penalties. He had a couple of pass interferences and a holding that he drew. So 3 more first downs, 3 more chunk plays that he was able to get. He's just been Mr. Consistent. Rather, he's been hurt or healthy for Cleveland. It's highway robbery what Andrew Berry got him for. He slid back from the 5th to the 6th round to get Amari Cooper. And he just – Amari is going to it's like – I always said this with the Steelers when they were matching up against when the Browns were playing the Steelers. I said, TJ Watt's going to get his, just try to limit other guys. I think Amari Cooper is going to get his. Just limit the other guys. Don't let anybody else be crazy explosive. And you can kind of, I think you can manage that after that. So I think Amari's been who he's been his entire career this year. They finally started to get Elijah Moore into action last week. Mm-hmm. He ends up with 9 receptions. 9 receptions? That sounds right. 49 yards. Was it that many? Yeah, it was like 7 or 9. It was something like that. They're trying to get there. He's not breaking tackles right now. So you saw a lot of these, like, get him the ball in space, and he's not quite making enough guys miss so that he can get upfield. But it's there. The EPA data from Next Gen Stats that I saw, there is not a wide receiver that's creating more separation right now than Elijah Moore.
Which so is crazy because it's
not even Zay.
I was gonna say it's hard to keep people in the same frame as Zay Flowers right now. So that's incredible.
Don't get me wrong. I didn't read the whole list. So
no, but yeah, yeah, no, for
nah,
sure.
I'm just messing with you, Jake.
Yeah, no, I love that's Zay. Impressive. Yeah.
To be clear, had they not traded their second round pick, Zay was a guy that obviously didn't get there. In the end, but was definitely in the conversation for me. That's one of the guys. I loved him. I loved Ojabo, Travis Jones. Every time they go to the Baltimore, if I love them in the draft. So,
well, I'll tell you what, Chubb got away from us, boy. He would have been a perfect back in Baltimore, man.
I don't even want to think about that. That's just terrifying. But so Elijah Moore, he's creating separation, right? He's getting that. He's there. Watson is, I think, still working on the timing with him. But I mean, watching the All-22, he's open. There's opportunities. Watson's got to do a better job going through his progressions because he's kind of struggling with locking onto one wide receiver and just trying to force feed the ball there if he can. But I think Elijah has an opportunity to break out. And they just got to put some focus on David Njoku. They're just not. Mm-hmm. He was a little bit of a better pass from Watson on that tight end screen, and he probably rumbles for 40 or 50 yards and he gets like 6. It kind of made him hesitate. He had just a convoy of blockers in front of him, and then it was just a bad pass. Watson's been doing this little jump pass that is just terrible. Anytime he wants to check down to a tight end or a running back, and I'm just, set your feet, man. It's really not that hard. It's just he's 5 feet in front of you, man. It's okay. Just deliver it. But Njoku has had a really good camp. He had a really good camp. He had a really good preseason. They just got to put focus on him, and right now he's not a focal point of the offense. And until they put a more conscious effort to it, I wouldn't be concerned from the other sideline.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good to know. One less guy to be concerned about, right, Glenn?
Yeah. He's certainly a talented guy at that. Now, I got to ask you about the running back situation. Obviously, the devastating injury to Nick Chubb, which I don't care if you're a Ravens fan, if you're any fan, you don't want to see a player that good take that kind of injury, especially to the knee that's already had injuries to it. But they bring back Kareem Hunt, which really came as no surprise. Familiar face. But how do you see that room kind of adjusting to life without Nick Chubb?
It still sucks really bad. I got the Nick Chubb, it's over here, the Nick Chubb signed helmet behind me on the bookcase. And it's just like, even if they had won that game, they lost that game against Pittsburgh. Like, it was, you don't replace Nick Chubb. That's the first thing you do. You don't think to yourself, well, if I combine this guy, and this guy, I can get Nick Chubb stuff. You're not going to get Nick Chubb stuff. There's not a guy who sees there is not a better player at finding and exploiting a cutback lane in the NFL than Nick Chubb. And those are just handfuls of yards that he gets off of that one aspect where he can just start and stop and find the cutback lane and fire up that way and just make big plays. But I think the committee is fine. I think you bring back Kareem Hunt for short yardage power situations. He kind of lost some of the juice in his legs last year. That's why they let him go. That's why he is a free agent for as long as he was. But I thought he looked like he had a little bit more juice in his legs in this one game. He only plays like 10 snaps, but a little bit more than what I saw towards the end of the year. Some people think maybe he wasn't motivated by the struggles of last year, and that could have been something there. But he's a terrific pass protector in third down situations where he needs to cut off blitzers and keep Deshaun Watson clean. So I think he's by far the best pass protector that they have, and he's the power back. Jerome Ford and Pierre Strong are not power backs, and not having one was going to be a problem in the red zone for this team. So they go out and they get him. He can take the short yardage and the wide receiver reps, that passes out of the backfield, because he's still a really good route runner and really reliable hands. So I like Kareem Hunt in a limited role. I really like Jerome Ford. He had a really tough go of it in his first start this week, but I just think that's a really good run defense in Tennessee, and it's really well coached, and they schemed things really well. And they were just like, hey, Watson, you haven't been able to beat anybody. So go out there and beat us. If we lose, it's going to be to Deshaun Watson, not to the running back. I think they'll have a better shot at it this time. But those three guys, Pierre Strong and Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt, I combine them together, and I still think they're only 65% of what you would get from Nick Chubb. So
yeah, that might be generous.
Yeah, right. That's me being the eternal optimist that right. I am. So like, everything you think you know about the Browns offense from Kevin Stefanski's tenure should be thrown out the window because of Watson and because of the loss of Nick Chubb.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, defensively, to kind of get to it, Glenn, some of the things that we've talked about is that, we'll have to compensate for some of the missing pieces out there, find ways to get it done either way. Obviously, with Ajabo out now, Owe out now, we got Kyle Van Noy coming in, which will be interesting to see how that whole thing works out. But the other piece of it is, from my standpoint, the last question I have for you is really around from an offensive perspective. Do you believe that there is going to be like the balance of the game should shift now, right? Because you don't have the weapon in Nick Chubb. How much of that will negatively affect, like, are they going to try and force feed the guys that weren't being force fed the ball more because there's going to be a proportionate change in this offense? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think so. I do. I think so, because you're going to go in. I think they'll live and die by getting the playmakers the ball in space. That's what they were trying to do with Elijah Moore, trying to get him into space, see if he could break some tackles and things. They had him carry the ball a couple of times already, put him in the backfield several times, trying to use some gadgety things to make up for the short and try to use some gadget plays as well as short passing game to make up for some of the run loss that they'll have with Nick Chubb, because they don't want to get too one dimensional.
Yeah.
But they're realistic in my mind. They're realistically looking at this. And as we had just said, maybe generously they're getting 65% of what they were getting from Nick Chubb. So they're understanding that. So that's where I do think it'll transition. Watson throws the ball 33 times last week. I would be shocked if 35 to 38 isn't the average every week. I think they're going to live and die in the shotgun. They still are doing some stuff under center that Kevin Stefanski loves to do, and it's working really well. But in camp leading up to that, they were living and dying in the shotgun and the shotgun run scheme. I think you're going to see them begin to transition more to that, because they're going to, even though they had already tailored this offense around Deshaun Watson, I think they're going to completely have to go all in on that approach. That's all they have.
Yeah.
So Elijah Moore, David Njoku, some of these guys that you think can make people miss in the open field, I think they're going to have a higher target load, because for one, there's just going to be a higher amount of targets. So I truly do think so. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into this weekend. The Ravens coming off of a tough loss against the DK's in here. Look, I didn't even see him slide in the back. Yeah, DK, welcome in. You're kind of hidden by the mute stuff at the bottom there. But this Sunday. So the Ravens come off a tough loss to the Colts after a really big time win in Cincinnati. And then this, you know, the same with Cleveland. I mean, they're at the top, I believe, of the division right now, if I'm correct, looking down. How do you see this matchup ultimately shaken out?
It's going to be a dogfight. I think it's going to be an old-fashioned AFC North dogfight, which is really funny because the Browns are not going to be running old-fashioned AFC North offense. So I think that tells you where I think it goes. Personally, I really want this one, and I think they really want this one. I'm leaning Ravens 23-20, somewhere in that range. Where I think it could be one of those ones where you don't see a lot of scoring till the second half too, like one of those like 10-7 or something like that, ball games. But I don't think the Browns offensive line has been as good this year as people thought it was going to be. I've been a little bit more critical, as a lot of these national people tell you, it's one of the best offensive lines in football. And quite frankly, it's not.
Really?
when it comes to pass protection, it's not. You got a rookie at right tackle who's been great. DeJuan Jones actually been pretty good. He didn't allow a pressure last week against Tennessee. He allowed some against TJ Watt the week before, as one would imagine in his first career start. Jed Wills hasn't played well. Wyatt Teller is not pass protected well. Neither is Ethan Postic at center. So they're still run blocking pretty well, but their pass protection is not quite what it is. And you got a quarterback in Watson that loves to hold on to the football. But then on the just all day, baby. He loves holding on that phone. And I'll be there on the 50-yard line. So I'll be there to watch it. And
50-yard line. Look at you, Jake.
Yeah, anniversary gift from my wife.
Happy anniversary.
Nice. I appreciate
that. Yeah, I'm pretty excited. So, and I gotta figure out how I won up her, you know. Yeah, so
that's pretty good. 50-yard line. That's pretty good, Jake.
Yeah, I don't think I have that kind of money. But you know, I think that the defense is – I think the Ravens pass rush is better than people want to talk about. I actually feel pretty good – pretty scared about it, I guess, is what I was going to say. I feel good about it if I was a Ravens fan. But, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on the quarterback. There's going to be a lot of defense. I think both teams barely score 20. I earlier in the day I had the Browns 23-20. For some reason right now, having just watched the Bengals game, I'm kind of leaning Ravens somewhere around that 23-20 range, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I like this guy.
Me too, man. We're going to start having you on board.
I'm a people person, right?
Like, there you go. We appreciate you coming on, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Looking forward to, hopefully, you know, obviously we'll have another matchup with the Browns. Hopefully we'll have you on again. Why don't you let the folks know where they can find all the stuff that it is you are working on?
Yeah, you can. I write every day for Browns Wire, so you can go to brownswire.usatoday.com and you can catch some of that stuff. I'm actually about to do my bold predictions piece that'll drop tomorrow for this game. You can find me at Roachism13 on Twitter, or just go over to the Network 216 YouTube. I'm all over that place.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for coming. Appreciate your flexibility.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to the game, but also having you back on for the next matchup.
Thank you, Jacob.
Good, guys, thanks.
Have fun at the game, buddy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Wow, I was surprised to hear.
Score.
Yeah, I thought the way they've been playing, the Ravens lay a kind of a stinker last week. I thought he'd take them, but Yeah, I guess he's taken the full season into the context and not just last week. But all right, well, let's get back into our breakdown here, because we got down our offensive keys. Now we got to talk about the defensive side of the ball. So, of course, you know, you mentioned a lot of them when you're talking to Jacob. They're players to watch: Deshaun Watson, Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, David Njoku, but also, you know, Donovan Peoples-Jones is got that take the top off your defense type of game breaking speed. Mm-hmm. So you certainly got to watch out.
In the past, always been. I feel like he's always made a big play against us.
He has hurt us in the past. There's no doubt. And they also have breakout speed in Marquise Goodwin, backing those guys up. So they got really everything you would want. They got the yak guy, the shifty guy in Elijah Moore. They got the route running genius in Amari Cooper, and then they got some guys that can really get out and run and stretch you up the field. So they got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, even with the absence of the talented Nick Chubb.
Yep.
So to me, when I look at this team, I know that the Titans made Deshaun Watson be the guy who beat them, but I'm still not sold on Deshaun Watson. And I know that he had a good game last week, but with the injuries to our secondary, including Marlon Humphrey, I still like our chances of kind of bottling up their passing game. And I know the Titans have a good run defense, but I think the Ravens have a damn good run defense, even with Moss going over 100. We got to remember, he got 30 carries to get over to get to that number. So it's not like he was gouging them for 5 yards a carry. I mean, he still had to get 30 carries to get to that number of rushing yards. And I think Moss is better than all the guys that the Browns have. So I still like our chances if we stop the run and you know, make Deshaun Watson be the guy that beats you, Jimbo. And to me, it's all about keeping them guessing. Like, you gotta hit them with a bunch of different coverages. I love how now we have three safeties that are so versatile that now you can add that into the mix, bring all three guys down to the line of scrimmage, really keep this guy guessing, keep the offensive line guessing who's coming, who's dropping. Obviously, the linebackers play a big role in it. But to me, it's all about keeping Watson guessing when it comes to reading coverages, and I think that'll be the key. What do you think, Jimbo?
Glenn, it's funny, man. It's like you got our notes or something. What's going on here, dude?
Huh?
No, that you're exactly right. But, you know, mine really adds to what you were saying, just like the offensive one. My defensive key to the game is getting pressure, but in creative ways. You mentioned that, right? Like, I like how, you know, the idea is putting it. We want, as the team, the Ravens team, to make Deshaun Watson beat us and know that if we do that enough and make them one-dimensional enough, he's going to make enough mistakes that we can take advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I think based on the new pass rush duo that we have, at least for this week, right in the short term with Clowney and Kyle Van Noy, that we've got to get creative with it. We can't be overly dependent on those two guys. We've got to, you know, rely on a Kyle Hamilton or a Marcus Williams or a Geno Stone, or, you know, obviously with the two linebackers with PQ and Rowe, whatever it ends up being, however it ends up looking, we've got to get pressure. And I say being creative is going to be the best way for us to make him make those mistakes. And with that in mind, Glenn, my defensive player of the game, about to get some get back in this game, is Jadeveon Clowney. I think Jadeveon Clowney is going to have a huge game. Going to be, if he's ever been psyched for a game in his life, it's this one. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, you know, the hit that Clowney went viral for?
Yep.
Wasn't there a really horrible play or a really horrible call by the referee, I believe, right before that?
You don't have to go back
and look it up. I feel 90% of the play before that was a terrible call, and Clowney was like, "Eh, well, I'll just do this instead."
And just smashed the guy. You're talking about South Carolina back in college, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the video where he just, you know, which made him a number one pick. Let's be honest.
Like, yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think that we're gonna see that Clowney for a significant amount of this game. I think he goes absolutely off. I'm calling two sacks for Jadeveon Clowney in this game. Look, and one of them is gonna be a strip sack. Even better. Two sacks and a strip sack.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, Clowney already looks like a motivated player, but I certainly think his motivation will be through the roof going into this week. But to me, my breakout player is Marcus Williams. I think the fact that Deshaun Watson, look, I think what's going to happen is both our guys are going to be breakout players, Jimbo, because
I like it.
It's like Jacob said, Deshaun Watson holds the ball like Ben Roethlisberger. Like, he wants to hold the ball as long as possible to give his receivers a chance to uncover and create big plays down the field, the same way Big Ben did. Well, I think Marcus Williams is going to be the beneficiary of Clowney putting pressure on Deshaun Watson, forcing an errant throw, maybe a throw that comes out a little earlier than was that he wanted to. And here comes Marcus Williams screaming into the picture to get an interception. So I think we're both going to nail this one, Jimbo. Yes, this isn't a you or me. This is both of us here, Jimbo, because as much as they're going to want to try and still be competitive on the ground, if they're moving to a shotgun set, I just find it very hard to believe we're still going to be in our nickel, because we believe in them linebackers that we got. We don't need to go down to the dime. We don't need it. So if you want to come out shotgun and try and run the ball against us, I think it's going to be a long afternoon. So ultimately, Deshaun's going to have to beat the Ravens, and I think he's going to have to do so in a lot of third and medium to third and long scenarios. And I like our chances, man. I'm a little worried about Amari Cooper. He's such a chain mover. You know, he consistently moves the chains. It's just like you said, even when he wasn't catching the ball to move the chains, he drew three penalties that moved the chains. So I'm a little worried about Amari, especially with Marlon out. But I still think they'll do enough to create turnovers, keep Watson guessing, and for that reason, I think we'll win the game, Jimbo.
Oh, all right. I like it. I like it. Well, look, I think it's about that time, Glenn.
I think it's about that time.
Now, I'm excited to talk about it.
Now, before we get into it, I want to share something that the sponsor of this segment, BetUS, sent over to us, because you know, we want to make sure we're doing our guys over at BetUS justice. So I'm going to add this to a little quick little message from BetUS that they have for us today.
Bam.
BetUS, America's favorite sports book, where you can bet on everything at any time. Sportsbook, casino, horse racing, live betting, and more. Best bonuses in the industry. 125% sign-up bonus. Celebrating 30 years with up to 30 risk-free bets, a truck, Super Bowl tickets, and more. Don't miss out. Play smart. Visit BetUS.com and join now. BetUS, where the game begins.
There we go, Jimbo. So
dude,
look.
Go win yourself a truck.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you need some wheels? Go to BetUS, man. 12, 30 risk-free bets? That's awesome. Take advantage of this opportunity. Look, they're trying to get some pub, and you guys are trying to make some money. It's a win-win. So go check it out. Use the link in the description. Like we've always said, 30 years in the game? Where was DraftKings 30 years ago? I think these guys got it down. Check out the OGs. It's an easy way to support the show. Use the link that is that DK has graciously put in the description. So go check it out for yourself and make yourself some moolah. That's all I got to say. And, of course, this segment is sponsored by BetUS and made possible by them. Let's get
right in. Don't forget to use our promo code, by the way. Get that match.
That's right. Absolutely right. So, you make sure you use the link in the description. That way you can take advantage of the match, because if not, you won't. Absolutely. Be sure to do that. But let's get right into it.
And before we get into this week, can we just get a recap? Who won last week?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was actually getting ready to say that, because there is a term in sports. I don't know if you're aware of it. It's called humble in defeat. Glenn was triumphant last week. And DK and I lost. But look, you win or you learn. It's all you do. So right. we're here to learn, come I back. And so Glenn didn't learn anything because he won. So we'll get right into it here. DK, do you have these banners up?
Yeah, he's got them loaded. So
All right, let's get to this first one, DK. I'm excited to get back in my rightful place. Number one is over. And of course, actually, sorry, let me pause. If you guys don't know this, we assume a lot of you do, but if you haven't participated in this competition, there's an easy way to do it. What's at stake is some 410 Sports Talk swag. You get a t-shirt. If you're a two-time winner, you get a hoodie, you know, right at your doorstep upon winning. So use any of the social media handles above Glenn's head, or comment in the video after it is live. Do not do so in the chat. It will not count. Don't edit your comments and post and put in your submit your give your submissions before the game starts. All right, let's get right into it, DK. Over under number one, Ravens rushing yards, 160.5. Man, you know what? I'm going under on this one, Glenn. I just feel like their defense is really good, and I went under out of respect for their defense. No real analysis outside of that. I just respect them as a defense.
Yeah, well, see, I went under as well, but only because that's a high number. Like, yeah. I still see them running the ball well. I just think they're going to be around 150. You know, I think Gus is going to be – like an 80, 85 type, you know, day. And then I see the rest, you know, just kind of filling in between Lamar and the rest of the backs. But that's a high number. But DK says it ain't high enough because DK says over, Jimbo.
Yeah, I know. I saw that one. And
which DK, I hope he's right.
DK, man, you're coming out hot, dude. You're either winning this one or you're losing off the jump.
Dude, I hope he's right, because if they go over, then there's a good shot the Ravens are winning.
That's right. All right, the next one. Let's go to number two offensively. Over under Nelson Agholor receiving yards at 24.5. So I'm going to go first on this one again. I went over on this one, and for two reasons. One, Nelson Agholor has impressed me. Two, Odell Beckham and Rashad Bateman. Odell continues to be out, but it looks like Rashad Bateman will also be out. And Nelly can get a long one or two. It only takes one with this guy. So I think 24.5 is a pretty humble number for Nelson Agholor. I think he gets it done. I'm going over.
Okay. All right. I tend to agree. I mean, when you have no Bateman, no OBJ, I got to imagine Nelson has to be a bigger role. And I think same could be said for Devin Duvernay. And even maybe one of these practice squad guys gets elevated. Maybe Laquon Treadwell, who's been on the practice squad since the beginning. But yeah, I think over as well. It looks like DK agrees. So we have all three say over 24.5 yards. All right. What's our first defensive over under?
Let's do it.
Ravens sacks 2.5 is where it's set, Jimbo. Do they get more or less than 2.5 sacks?
I'm going under, but I'm going under because I think it's two. I think Clowney gets the two sacks. I think Clowney gets it done. I know Deshaun holds on to the ball.
Hold on.
I know all this.
Hold on. Your key to the game was creative pressure.
Pressure.
And then you picked
pressure. Pressure.
Not
pressure.
Sacks.
Look, ask Adafe Owe. A pressure on a sack.
Oh, damn.
Ask Adafe
Owe.
Taking
shots at Adafe, bro.
I'm just saying, is it
true? Never miss an opportunity, dude.
You know? Is it true or is it not true? What are we doing here, right?
Hey, look, Van Noy, I wouldn't be – I love what I've heard from the coaches about Van Noy. They said it was very similar to when Roquan got to town. Like,
yeah, because they're going to come in and say bad things about him.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is Van Noy has a clear understanding that's that only veterans can have. Like, this isn't a guy – like, he's already putting input into what – on third down situations. Like, this isn't a guy you bring in, you know, who doesn't – he has seen it all. He's done it all. So I think he's going to be a big addition. Let's not forget, 5 straight years of at least 5 sacks. So he's going to get some sacks, you know, on the season. Why not today or tomorrow? Yeah, Sunday.
That's fair. You can take you can take the over, and I'll win. That's okay. I think probably get some both.
Well, DK agrees with me, just so you know.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the next one here. Kyle Van Noy, total tackles. Just 2.5 is the over-under. What do you think, Jimbo?
Yeah, you know, I'm going with under on this one.
You said over.
Oh, did I? No, I didn't. Oh, sorry. I was looking at the wrong one. I apologize.
Were you looking at mine again like you usually do?
No, yeah, right. Just so everyone knows, I put mine in first, and then Glenn absolutely put me in a tough position. But I went over. Oh. That is true. I did go over. I apologize. I went over on this one, and I think it's because – he's going to be in there for a lot of snaps, period. He's just going to play a lot of football.
You think so?
Yeah, he's got – I mean, you want Moon? Or I don't even know if Moon's available, right? Like, who else is available? Give me some names. Robinson? Whoop-de-doo. Like, Kyle Van Noy is going to play a lot of football this game. I think that is what it is. Unless his wind doesn't allow it.
He just got here, dude.
Yeah, well, JPP, remember that?
Yeah, that's true.
Play a lot of football. So I think he's going to play a lot of football. I think he tackles 3 moving bodies.
You got me wanting to change mine, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stick to under only because I think he's just not going to – how can he play a ton with really a walkthrough and one practice since he's been here? Like,
well, you just said it was – you know, it was like he came in up to speed. Now, what's his wind? What's his wind, right?
Exactly. Well, and look, Harbaugh made it clear – part of how you get signed, or the big part of how you get signed, is if you're in shape. So I assume he's in shape. And apparently he did the Ravens, what was that test?
The conditioning test.
He did it for fun. So apparently this guy is in incredible shape. But I just wonder how caught up he could be with just a walkthrough and one practice. But, hey, I hope you're wrong here, Jimbo. And I hope I'm right. And by the way, DK agrees with me again.
That's okay. I mean, I have the most wins this year. I have more than both of you combined. So,
you ever heard of the tortoise and the hare, Jimbo? You started off hot.
Remember, I'm both. Remember this? We established.
That's right. You are both.
This is the tortoise that can run forever.
Got you. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, what about the first tiebreaker here, Jimbo? He sets the over-under to kind of a probably the lowest number of the season. 40.5 is where DK puts the over-under. What do you say? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going over. I think the Ravens win this game 27-24. So if my math is correct, which it hasn't been as of late, I am going over. I think that it's on the leg of Justin Tucker that it gets done. It will not. He will not fail us 2 weeks in a row. Not that he failed us last week and put him in an impossible situation, but he won't come up short 2 weeks in a row. 27-24. And I like what Jacob said. It could be a lot of scores in the second half. It's going to be like a 7-3 halftime, something weird like that. So I'm going over.
Okay. All right. I think over as well. That's a very low total.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to be terrible. Like, I got it. Right now, I'm thinking 23-20, similar to what Jacob said. Like, I think it's going to be relatively low scoring. Look, the Ravens, ever since really only in 2019 have we been a team that blows teams out. So I think I'm just going to pick 3-point victories from here on out because that just tends to be what the Ravens do. But I do think it'll just barely squeeze over that 40.5 total, and DK agrees. So let's get into our final.
Do you have the Ravens winning, though?
Yeah, 23-20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jeez, it was. Okay, sorry. My bad. Come on, man. I'm just checking because
Deshaun Watson to beat the Ravens?
Man. You know, I mean, you picked Mahomes to beat us, you know.
Dude, how long are we going to go back? Okay? That was last year.
That wasn't even last year. Was it the year before that?
I think it was last year when we went to the game in Adafe.
No.
I know. That was two. So it was two years ago.
Yeah.
Never forget, right?
Yeah, I've been hanging out with my wife too long.
Never forget. You can forgive, but you never forget. Never. All right, last tiebreaker, closest to the pin. How many yards will the Ravens get this weekend, Jimbo?
The Ravens will get 3. You see, Glenn, this is where you jack me up, dude. I have 365, okay. And Jimbo was closest to the pin, I think, last week, if I'm not mistaken.
You were.
And so you decided to you know, prices right me a little bit.
Well, I didn't put 359 or 364 up there.
What did you put up?
I put 330.
Wait.
What?
Did you change it?
No.
You know what happened is I think yours was left in from last week. It said 360. Did you have 360 last week?
But this is a new one. I didn't. It wasn't.
Anyway, I swear I thought yours said
360. You see what he's trying to do to me, DK? He's trying to. You see what he's doing,
bro? I'm glad we have some separation here. Yeah, this is more fun.
Good. Yeah, you're good. 330 and DK at the highest total.
I like this.
390. So you're right in the middle there, Jimbo. Now I will say, me and DK have. Yeah, we have a little more room that we could be off. You're just
stuck. But I'll have already won.
You're like 345 to 385 is really your window of opportunity there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not banking on it.
I wouldn't either. And look, Lisa Ann's right. I'm going to win this week.
Yeah. You ride, Lisa Ann. That's fine.
That's right.
Go down with the shit.
They're all rooting for me. They're all rooting for your boy right here, Jimbo. I'm the people's champ.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's true. I'll take it. That's okay.
I am the people's champion.
It's true. No denying it.
I love it. Well, I think that's it for our preview here. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank you for coming out. Enjoy the Thursday night game.
Yeah, absolutely. And enjoy the Ravens as they, the Orioles as they seal up this
baseball team. People's champ. Oh, gosh.
Come on, man. I said the Ravens. It's not like I said the whole wrong.
I gotta say anything I can, Glenn.
Okay. Clinching the East as well as clinching 100-win season. Enjoy that. But also, guys, don't forget if you want to participate, wait for the live to be over and put your predictions in the comments below or in one of the social media handles above my head. Oh, Adrian said Team Jimbo. No. Oh, yeah,
dude. Look, man.
Dang, SMKG is rooting for DK? No, guys. You guys are on the wrong team. You got to join the good guys.
Orale. Look, game respects game. Dude. Game recognizes game. That's what it is.
All right.
You know?
All right.
Well, that's it for us, folks. Thank you so much for coming out. It was a great show, Glenn. I had a good time. DK, thank you. Shout out to Jacob Roach for hanging out with us tonight. But that's it for us.
Come back here. Sunday after the game, we'll be here.